Hello, and welcome to Wiki Politiki, a show designed to bring right and left front and center, to turn the funk into function, and leave the junk at the junction. At a time when so much political discourse is heat without light, Wiki Politiki shines the light of love and truth on the darkened corridors of power, and then brings leading solutionaries into conversation to light the way forward together. Your host is Steve Behrman, author, comedian, and political and spiritual uncommentator. You might know Steve as his cosmic comic alter ego, Swami Beyondananda, or as the author of a more serious book with cellular biologist Bruce Lipton, Spontaneous Evolution. If you recognize that crisis precipitates evolution, and judging by the current crises, the chances of precipitation are 100%, this show is for you. Welcome to the Evolutionary Upwising. Now, here is your host, Steve Behrman.
Well, hello and welcome to Wiki Politiki, Conversations for Co-Creation, where we shed light on the endarkened corridors of power and we shine a light ahead of us on the path where evolution is leading. The purpose of Wiki Politiki is to bring left and right front and center to face the music and dance together, to address problems instead of defending positions. And we have another purpose too, and that is to provide a context at a time when the content can be contradictory, confusing, and overwhelming. Well, today we talk about movies. Movies move us. Sure, they were originally called movies because they were motion pictures, but there's something about the total immersion in a darkened theater, watching a large screen, that puts us in the picture and creates a totally moving experience that is not just intellectual, but visceral and all-encompassing. That's why movies move us. Now, the question we're addressing today, can movies move us toward an actual movement that moves the world? Our guest this week is filmmaker Emmanuel Etier, and he thinks so. He was born in France. He moved to the U.S. 30 years ago, and he's used his platform in recent years to promote consciousness and political and spiritual transformation. His most recent film, created in collaboration with the executive producer Sharon Stone, is called We the People, and it's a worldwide exploration of politics and economics in the present and the future with people like Robert Reich, Deepak Chopra, Sharon Stone, Michael Beckwith, Nobel Peace Laureates Mairead McGuire, and Toakol Karman, along with Vandana Shiva, Mark Wahlberg, many, many other people. Emmanuel, here's a quote from Emmanuel, quote, "If we cultivate caring economies and politics, maybe we can build a sustainable planet full of peace, justice, and love for everybody." When you watch We the People, you'll realize we're not focusing on putting anyone, any party down, but we are focusing on the possible solution to better our humanity and use the tools of politics and economics to build a sustainable future. In the subtitle, Emmanuel uses a compelling and Swami-esque phrase, re-evolution, to cite the need to move beyond the old paradigm revolution, where things simply revolve and turn around and come back to where we were, to evolution, which describes where we are right now, the passage in front of us. Another quote from Emmanuel, quote, "This is a re-evolution of peace and love. How can we reinvent ourselves as one humanity, all interconnected, all interdependent from each other?" Emmanuel Etier has enjoyed more than two decades of film success prior to this documentary. He directed Tell Me No Lies, Scarecrow, The Invocation, which featured Deepak Chopra, Desmond Tutu, and the Dalai Lama. There's a threesome. He also directed Bermuda Femme, and he produced Wildflower and Scarecrow Slayer. In addition, he acted as co-producer and financing consultant for Johnny Mnemonic, Another 9½ Weeks, Shattered Image, The Dentist, and Progeny. He's also been a successful music and film journalist for rock magazines, French TV networks, and the internet for over 20 years. Finally, Mr. Etier was a recipient of the 2018 Global Citizen Award from the United Nations Association and was named President of the Year by the Rotary Club of World Peace in 2018. Quite a resume. Welcome, Emmanuel.
Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for having me on your show. Let's rock it.
Thank you so much. Thanks for being here. Let's jump right into the movie, which I found very informative and inspiring. How did the movie We the People come to happen?
That's a very good question. Well, as you said, it's about evolution. So I started documentaries a decade ago. It started with The Invocation, which was an exploration of the notion of God from quantum physics to religion through spirituality. As you mentioned, with Deepak Chopra, His Holiness the Dalai Lama, Desmond Tutu, Sharon Stone, and many more. From there, I created FEM, Women Healing the World, because I discovered when I did The Invocation, the movie about oneness, that oneness is really the feminine and the masculine that should be more into balance. Once I finished with FEM, I realized, okay, I understand a bit better who we are, what type of being we are. Now, how do we apply this notion of I think, therefore I am, to therefore I do? Well, to put your thoughts into motion, the two big engines of life that we have are economics and politics. And the reason is because everything is politics and economics. Politics is politics for the people. Economic is economia, the management of the resources. So if you think about it, everything revolves around politics and economic. So are we doing economic and politics right now? I'm not so sure. You know, are we responsible individual dealing with the resources of our planet, the resources being also the geniuses, the money, everything that all the tools that we have available to better our society into a society that's geared about helping we the people. So that's where the idea came. The idea was evolving within me for a long time, and I realized really the most important subject right now that we should deal with are economic and politics, because if we do healthy economic and healthy politics, I'm totally convinced we can solve every problem we have, whether it's dealing with poverty, with the environment, with pandemics, with any problem that we have. Everything is fixable. It's all about there is a will, therefore there is a way. You know, the problem is we don't really have a will and a focus to find a way. Right now we are still into this competitive mind, this killing mind, this abusing mind. And that has to change, because until we change our frame of mind, we will have the same status quo of death, of failure, of bankruptcy. So I believe it's doable, but it's going to take, you know, 7 billion of us waking up and getting together and working together in one beautiful oneness type of thinking.
You know, you mentioned the feminine and masculine working together. That's really true. I think what we've had, of course, we've had, as the Swami would say, 5,000 years of living under the lowest common denominator, and we've automatically kind of taken that on as that's how things are. And most people look at economics and politics as these two, black boxes, something that nobody's ever going to understand. And so consequently, I think people disempower themselves by saying, well, there's not much we can do about it. So what do you, as you were doing this movie, as you were doing the research and filming people and interviewing people, what was it that came through to you as perhaps the most compelling or hopeful thing that you came up with, that you found?
Well, the most compelling thing that I found out is that, you know, we have a tendency to isolate our mind and our body in little boxes, like you said, black boxes, which means we isolate ourselves into an ideology, into a party, into a race, into a culture, into a religion. So we ghettoize ourselves from the get-go. And by the way, we are innocent at first because we are manipulated. As a kid, we are told, you're going to believe that, You're going to believe in that God. You're going to believe in that party. You're going to believe in that group because the rest is not good. You know, so we are told what's good and what's not, which is, to me, insane. What is right and what is wrong? You know, it's very subjective. And also it's about realizing that there is good and wrong, moral and immoral, in everything around us. And in every party, in every culture, in every race, and in religion, there are flaws and there are greatness. So what I realize is that we were the product of this conditioning, and we have to find ways to liberate our mind, to escape from this mind jail, to reach out and to reconnect with each other. And until we do that, we are doomed. We are really doomed because we are basically convinced we are the center of the world. We are an island. And therefore, everybody else should be at our service or should be ignored when it's the opposite. We are all of service to each other. We are all the healer of each other. We are all dependent. You know, what goes around comes around. So it flows. And the right point that we have right now is we have stopped the flowing. We have stopped the flowing of economics, of politics, of spirituality. We have kept it under seal in our own little mind box. So it's a very different frame of mind that we are proposing with this movie. We are really, it's an invitation to liberate your mind and to be part of the wholeness and greatness of the whole, of the planet, of the one humanity that we are.
You know, we're all reaching for that. I think there's a growing awareness that, first of all, we have to reorganize how we do things, given the impact that we've had as a species on the planet. Our footprint has gotten very big. We could be called Bigfoot at this point, given the impact that we've had and the ways that we've organized ourselves in terms of, let's say, toxic forms of competition and all of that. Has put us in the place where we are now. The new word that we've used to describe it is the situation. A situation is what we have right now. So I know everybody likes that word. They all know what it means for some reason. So given all of that, in the wake of the movie, now I take it that the movie has been released and people are watching it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been released by a great company that really took a leap of faith on us called Freestyle Digital Media. It's a company based in Los Angeles, and they released it just the day of the midterm election last November, and it was put all over the internet from iTunes to Amazon to Voodoo, Xbox, In Demand. So you have no excuse not to find our movie, other than, yeah, we don't have enough promotion, enough marketing, because we are a very independent small company, and so it's really up to a solid budget to push for your own movie. But it's therefore it's very grassroots. It's through radio shows like yours or film festival that I attend. But yeah, it's absolutely available, and I hope people get into it and get, if anything, some valuable information, and really, hopefully, it's just a source of inspiration for them to liberate their mind and get involved with life instead of, again, about thinking it's a situation and we are doomed. I don't believe that. I think we have, again, all the resources to turn this doom curse of our lives now into a beautiful destiny and humanity. It's doable, but it's going to take all of us to get to work, you know. So don't wait for the next messiah. Don't wait for the next guru. Become your own messiah. Become your own guru and really realize you're such a powerful mind that has been kept, you know, into slavery for so many years. And now it's a time of liberation. It's a time of real evolution. And so let's get to work.
Well, you know, you mentioned the messiah and the guru. Of course, we say that the way to find your guru is to look in the mirror and go, G-U-R-U, G-U-R-U. That spells it right. G-U-R-U. And then we find our guru. Have you gotten reviews? Have you gotten feedback? Anything of that nature? Anything that's been coming back to you as in regards to how this has impacted people?
Yeah, it's constantly impacting people, you know, whether it's through the many awards that we got through contests, festivals, and special events, whether it's for meeting the Rotary Club or the United Nations Association. So the impact is there. You know, it's about continuing the work and keep spreading the word of peace and love. So it's constant work. It's exhausting, but it's accelerating. And it's an interesting ride, you know, because you can never rest, and you have to keep going. You know, it's a 24/7 commitment. But I'm pleased. It found me in a way because I really started out of a fluke, out of an experience as I was driving to Los Angeles, like right now. I'm in my car, I'm driving, and it's interesting how all ideas come in your mind when you drive, you know. Sure, you're focused on the road, but maybe actually because you're focused on the road and you connect to the planet, that's why the idea comes so clearly when you drive. You know, maybe that's the key, you know. I think when you reconnect, everything unfolds in front of you. So I'm going to keep doing what I do until... you know, I go to the next stage. Who knows? Who knows what it is? You know, it's there is definitely a little more of a structure plan where I want to keep doing this, what I call humanitarian documentaries, to better educate myself and understand how life works. And then ideally, you know, I'm in my early 50s. Ideally, in my early 60s, I'd like to just solely focus on politics, but politics without the party, you know, creating kind of a really free political movement and try how to figure out to really get involved politically to have a real impact, a physical impact, whether it means
good.
Stay here in the U.S. and get involved with various groups, or even because of this thick French accent, as you have noticed, my dream would be to go back home and take a chance at running for president. Why not? You know, we can all do it.
Well, our current president. Oh, okay, good. We'll be back after this break with Emmanuel Etie. We'll be talking more about his movie with the people and politics in general and the politics.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Are you done with the daily barrage of negativity? Ready for some positivity? Creations Magazine has been inspiring the soul for over 30 years, delivering thought-provoking and solution-driven articles, essays, and poetry that inspire you to enjoy a vibrant life. Holistic health, personal and spiritual growth, relationships, the environment, and so much more. Read us online or order a subscription, creationsmagazine.com.
911, what is your emergency?
My kid shot himself.
All right, where's the wound, sir?
911, what's your emergency?
Please, help. My son shot his brother.
911, what is your emergency?
Okay. 911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Okay, Wiki Politiki, Steve Bierman. I'm back with our guest, Emmanuel Etier. We're talking about his film, We the People. We're talking about politics, economics, weaving all these together into a movement of movements. Now, speaking of which, you grew up in France. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Were you a filmmaker in France as well?
Well, it's very interesting how I was born into becoming a filmmaker. It all started when I was 15. I was in a class of math. And as I was looking at the teacher trying to make a very elaborate demonstration of geometry or algebra, I don't remember what exactly was the topic, but it was basically for me a big fog of misunderstanding. My mind, looking at this, my mind, interestingly, starting to create a poem. And I saw myself writing a poem during that class of math. It was basically a poem called Who Is He? And it was really a very existentialist story about a young boy, the young 15-year-old I was, trying to figure out his life and where is he going. That same night, I dreamt that poem into vivid, visceral images as a short movie. So I woke up the next day and I thought, oh, this is really bizarre. What's going on? But I was called and I felt compelled to put my thoughts into motion and to talk with my friends and tell them, you know, I think that's what I'm going to do with my life. I'm going to direct movies. You know, I'd always been in love with movies and TV shows. You know, I was part of this baby boomer generation raised with TV. So I think I've always been consciously and unconsciously very much marked by images, by moving images, and the power that they have. And so within a week, I directed my first short, which was called The Cage. And until today, as they say, the rest is history in progress and in chaos also, because, you know, it's full of ups and downs. And in life, you know, I learned that there's nothing tougher than to get there. Even so, the toughest is to stay there, because it's really hard to keep going, you know. Life is such an unstable environment, so it's very fragile. And that's why you have to be very focused, very disciplined, and very embracing of everything, you know. And whether it's a failure, it's a loss, you embrace, you transcend, and you go beyond. And you're up on the other side of the rainbow that you are reborn. But it's tough. It's not a smooth ride. And that's why we have to be so gentle with each other and caring and supportive, because we are very fragile creatures who can snap, who can be derailed, who can fall out of grace. So you have to be conscious of that, you know, at the
and
same time.
You know, that's really true.
Strength. Yeah.
You that's know, really
at the same time, you have to find enough strength, enough faith. Faith, you know, is a word that's been very much misunderstood. It comes from a pagan Roman verb, fidere, which means to trust. And I think if we have really truly fallen into chaos right now, and actually it's not that bad, but it could be better. But if we are missing the evolutionary goal right now, it's because really we don't trust each other anymore. We don't have this notion that we are one family. We have let our relationship dissolve. And that's where we have to focus on mainly, on the rebuilding the relationship, rebuilding the human family, rebuilding the communities. And that's first a frame of mind. It's also, you see, an attitude. You know, the type of government we have, abusive, bullying, yelling, to everybody. It's basically, you know, arming you with a mental mind that says, well, go ahead, my way or highway. Are you kidding? Life is one, you know. You're a moron if you think it's your way or the highway. That's why it doesn't work. Because there are too many people thinking they're in charge, when really, we are in charge. I always say, I am because we are. When are you going to realize that? You are because we are. You know, so stop thinking about me, myself, and I, and change to me, myself, and we. We the people. That's how we're going to make it.
Well, I really like that approach, and certainly we've got, you know, we've certainly devolved into narcissism. We have a narcissist in chief out there who's, you know, basically, you know, he's definitely broadcasting this only about me, only about the individual, only about, you know, in a way, kind of the basest of human instincts. And I think it's a way for us to recognize what's been happening, what's been devolving under the surface, you know, just like a disease process has to come to the surface in order to be diagnosed and dealt with. I think that we're no longer in denial about this. Now, I'm just curious whether you've been following the Yellow Vest movement in France, and if so, what your take is on that. We call it an upwising, where people apparently wake up and wise up. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm a citizen of the planet, so even so, I live here. I'm not an American. I'm not a French. I'm a citizen of the planet, and we all are. We are, again, put into boxes to believe, you know, America great again, France great again. It's always been great. It's a great planet, so let's stop trying to be pretentious and reinvent the wheel. Keep the wheel turning, and that will be good enough. Yes, the problem is everywhere. You know, there is an uprising here every day with minorities being abused or illegal immigrants being mistreated. And again, we have to address all of these issues. I don't run away from them. But I say that it's global, and you can see that in France. We have really some people who are so desperate that they have the only way they find to express themselves is to destroy, burn, and create chaos. You know, and even so, it's a minority. It's big enough of a minority. One poor individual, one miserable individual is, for me, the entire humanity being miserable and in poverty. So we have to be trying to, again, communicate, being firm but attentive, and propose viable solutions. And I don't have all the solutions. I think we do have all the solutions together when we come to the table and listen to each other, which is exactly what the French government has been doing lately. It has invited everybody to come to the table and propose their solution. And now, so there's been a national debate, which is not explained by our media here in America. So people only see France burning, but they don't know exactly where it's coming from, and they don't know what's been done about it. So they just think we are a bunch of crazy French socialist revolutionary, which we're not. You know, we are desperate, as you are desperate here, to make a living. Because, you know, let's face it, the average Joe and Jen in the U.S. or in France is surviving with barely $1,000 a month. So the situation is desperate everywhere, not only in America, where most people are desperate. I'm desperate. You are. Most of us are. We are living month to month, and we are staying positive, and we send a positive message. But we are very fragile, and we don't know if 6 months from now our show will be on, our movies will be on. We have no idea. You know, we are not the lucky 1% who have millions or billions of dollars in a bank account. I don't have anything. You know, I don't even own my car. BMW own my car. I pay a monthly payment. I don't have a house. I rent a house. You know, I'm homeless, technically. So it's very difficult, and I think it starts with being honest with each other. It starts about saying we're all broke, we're all poor, but we can fix it. Even so, I was arguing with a friend of mine who is a specialist of chaos theories, and he was saying, well, no, it's unfixable, it's too screwed up already. And I'm like, no, we cannot accept that, because if you accept that, then that's it. In that case, what? We're going to be Mad Max civilization within 10 years? You know, you cannot run the risk to drop your spirit, to be depressed and to be kept artificially alive with marijuana, alcohol, or pills up and downers, which is sadly what people are turning to more and more, because they are so desperate. So they need some escape, and they find it into substances, whatever they are, legal or illegal. And that's very sad, because I really believe we can mentally boost each other and fool each other that it will get better, even so there are no guarantees, as we know. But already, if you put your mind into a positive frame of mind, it changes your attitude, and it doesn't depress the rest of the cell as much as if you are, you know, on your knees in front of your fate. So refuse that. Refuse to kneel down. Refuse to surrender. Fight. Wake up and fight. Stand up for your right and unite. You know, these are not the time to bitch and whine. It's the time to wake up, unite, and march. But intelligently, you know, without burning, without destroying, and without taking from the rich to give to the poor, because that doesn't work. You know, it's really an invitation to go beyond this mentality, this socialism, this capitalism, these isms. You know, if any ism, it's about communitarism. It's about, again, building back our community and trying to better manage our resources. Obviously, easier said than done, I agree. But if we get together, if we stop looking at each other like animals wanted to eat each other, but I think we can make it, you know. But let's stop the hate. Let's stop. And both sides, you know, it's interesting. When I go to the gym, because it's very important to move your butt physically as well, I put both CNN and Fox. And honestly, I see the same hate coming from both sides. So I'm never somebody, when people tell me, hey, what's your religion? What's your political party? I'm like, humanity. That's my answer. My religion is God. God has no religion. God is all and all is God. You know, and that's my same point of view when it comes to race, to culture, to political parties. I love it all. I embrace it all. I just try to figure out what works, what doesn't work. You know, I never voted for a party. I voted for a man or a woman, somebody that makes sense, somebody who is gentle, who is united, who wants to go into a real progressive, integrative direction. So that's my two cents of philosophy, and I don't think it's that bad, you know. Try it. Maybe it works.
Yeah, I think, first of all, you know, you mentioned that word faith. And I think fundamentally, it's a faith in that, you know, we've all been subject to the illusion of separation, that, you know, living in a so-called civilization where, you know, individual achievement, money is what matters. We've kind of devolved into that. And so to begin to develop this faith and connection in the unity of connection, in community, in what we have in common. And, you know, and coming forth with what you just did, that, you know, so many of us, 40% of people in this country, don't have $1,000 in the bank. They're living from paycheck to paycheck, and many people are living from paycheck to paycheck without the paycheck. So there is this thing that we have in common, and yet we've had, we spend a tremendous amount of our resources in weapons, in war, in preparing for war, in unnecessary forms of competition, in fighting one against the other. And one of the things I appreciated about your film is that you really want to look beyond these isms, that you want to look beyond the capitalism and communism, socialism, which are all on the same field, which has to do with focusing on what seems to be limited resources that, when we use our imagination in the context of love, can be unlimited. So as you're looking at the scene out there, is there something that's going on right now that you see as a beacon of light that is going to help pull us in the right direction?
It's we the people. It's you and I having this conversation right now. It's everybody meeting in churches or going to see Deepak Chopra or going to the yoga class. Or it's about reconnecting. I see, in spite of this minority in key position of power trying to disconnect us and raise us against each other, that's the appearances. That's sadly the focus of our medias. I think the vast majority of us are looking the other way and finding ways to connect, unite, and create a better world. So I'm really convinced that this minority who think they are in charge, they are not really. We are in charge. You know, they are just, again, in elected key position of power for the time of being, and they are not really in power. They are given the illusion of power by the big gun in their hand and the media who's feeding on their BS. So meanwhile, I see every second us connecting, figuring it out, and making it work, and realizing it's not about only about money. It's about being of service to each other. So even if somebody cannot pay me, I will say, well, what can you offer? Can you give me a meal ticket? Can you buy me a movie ticket? Can you help cut the grass in my garden? Whatever, you know, we can be physically of service and helping each other beyond this notion of everything has to be about money. It's not. Money is just a tool. It's an object of limitation. You know, screw money. Who cares, ultimately? What we should care about is each other and reevaluating this relationship again. And when we do that, and we are doing it, it takes a long time. It takes also trying to convince medias to focus on us doing it than focusing on people fighting and killing and arguing constantly. But I think eventually we will get there. It's just, it took a long time to get there. So to get out of there, it's going to take a little bit of a while. You know, I don't know, you know, decade to decade, I have no idea. But, you know, we just, again, let's not surrender to the depression that those in key position of power are trying to let us rot into, you know, and let's not accept our doom. We don't have a doom. We have a beautiful destiny to find, embrace, and achieve.
You know, I think that really is a very powerful message to have right now, because it's so easy for people to focus below the line at the many things that are not working. And yet it really is true that we have tremendous spiritual and even economic and political resources at our command. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back with Emmanuel Etier, and we're going to talk about his connection with Sharon Stone, other projects on the horizon. And this is Steve Behrman. We're on Wiki Politiki Radio. We'll be back in a very short minute.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
The Shift Network, presenting transformative programs and events to help you awaken to your full potential, so that together we can build the more beautiful world our hearts know is possible. Our classes support you in finding and cultivating your gifts and in bringing those gifts to the world to create tangible change and connect us as global citizens. Go to theshiftnetwork.com or follow the link on the Wiki Politiki sponsors page.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
And Okay, Steve Behrman, I'm back with our guest, Emmanuel Etier. We're talking about his film, We the People. And I'm curious, how did you, since you got Sharon Stone as a co-producer, I watched a little mini documentary on her, and I was very impressed with her, with how she has really been cultivating wisdom and perspective over the past bunch of years. How'd you get hooked up with her?
That's an interesting story. Sharon Stone is like the blue fairy in Pinocchio, and I will be Pinocchio, basically. to answer your question very quickly and shortly. Well, it all started when I thought about doing my first documentary, The Invocation. The Invocation came really in an instant to me. I was driving down to LA to a meeting. I wanted to do a documentary, but I didn't have a subject matter that I thought was worth fighting for and talking about. And I wasn't truly convinced I should do a documentary just about one person in particular, such as doing one, for example, about Sharon Stone. Anyway, eventually it boiled out to a very inner frustration. I look up into the sky and I swore to the heaven. I really said the four-letter word. And immediately the movie came together. I said, yeah, well, that's your problem. You don't understand what God is, what oneness is. You know, you're scared of this world. You're scared of religion. You know, because obviously I've been raised into a very tight religious environment, both Protestant and Catholic. So I was kind of disgusted by it. And I think I needed, as an individual, to reconcile myself, which I've done. I've made peace with God and religion and realized it's just part of me, but it's not all of me. Like, it's not all life. Life is made of many components. But anyway, as I had that self-revelation, the voice of Sharon Stone came into my head to become the voice of God and the voice of the narrator of the movie. That was my impulse. So I reached out to many friends, and I had a friend named Nathalie Dubois, who used to work with one of Sean Stone's partners. And I told her my story, and she said, well, let's start the conversation and see if they want to meet you. And they didn't at first. And plus, at first, I was dealing with the partner of Sean at the time. So it took a while. I started the movie on my own. I started to interview Deepak and many other, and I started to edit the movie. And I would send DVDs at the time. That was 10 years ago. DVDs to the partner to show the evolution of the movie. And it took a long time to really get them hooked. And eventually, that partner broke off with Sharon. So suddenly, I wasn't in touch with her. And another kind of miracle, wonder, you know, miracle means wonder. Another miracle happened. I was at a debate between a big atheist named Christopher Hutchinson. He's dead, the poor guy, now. And another great religious leader, Rabbi David Wolpe. I was at a big face-to-face between the two men. And who comes and sits in front of me? Sharon Stone. I mean, what are the odds? That's insane.
Yeah.
So I wait at the end of the debate, and then, you know, I tapped on her shoulder, and she didn't jump and punch me. She turned around very gracefully, and I introduced myself. And she said, oh, yeah, I heard of you. Yeah, you're the guy doing the movie on the God. It's like, well, keep going. It sounds very interesting. And she gave me her card. So suddenly we were in touch. We were truly connected on a personal level beyond, you know, the manager, the partners or whatever. And we continued the conversation. She encouraged me, but sometimes she had a very good critical eye. And after another almost year of editing over and over this very complicated picture, she really told me that I had achieved what she thought was a masterpiece and that she would be very delighted to be the narrator. So that was it. You know, we became friends and then producing partners. We've done four movies together, and I'm sure we'll find ways to keep collaborating. And it's been a beautiful relationship where, she has an influence a little bit like the fairy in Pinocchio, where she's a source of inspiration, a source of guidance, but she keeps me a little bit on a leash as well, like my wife, by the way. And I think I need that because, you know, I'm kind of the crazy, creative, but genuinely lovable, but a little bit mad French bulldog. I drool a lot. So I have to be told to stop drooling and focus and do the job. So, you know, again, I'm a wild spirit. You know, I always say, when people ask, how would you define yourself? I always say, I'm a holy punk. There is a side of me that's very spiritual, very connected. And the other side, it's the French nut, you know, the French drunk. There's nothing I can do about that. But yeah, actually there is. The thing I can do is trying to control this mad energy, focus it, and listen to other people like Sean Stone to hopefully better myself, become a better man, and do better movie. So anyway, that's how it came together. Thank you, Sean Stone. Without you, I wouldn't be here. Again, I am because we are.
You know, it's fairly interesting. Of course, she's somebody who's in the industry, so she's got a name. But as I've investigated who she is a little bit more, she's definitely an individual of substance. And to get coaching from her, I mean, you know, when people have kind of moved a certain degree beyond their ego, then they're able to give coaching without being hurtful. And they're able to be completely honest because you can see that they have that fundamental love and well-being. They're not being critical to hurt you; they're being critical to help you. So we all need that. There isn't anybody who doesn't need a coach or a mentor. So I mean that's really a fortunate happenstance. As you know, I mean, again, you just got finished with one thing. You were saying earlier that, you know, life kind of pulls us along. When I was writing Spontaneous Evolution with Bruce Lipton, we felt like we were being dragged along behind a truck, blah, 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 you know, in bumping him. Because, again, a project that many times a project really has a life of its own. It takes over and you're kind of along for the ride. Do you have anything on the horizon that looks like, I think here's how I continue along this path, here's how I branch off? Is there a next project or projects that seem to be beckoning to you at this point?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Always. My mind is constantly working and boiling 24/7. Even when I sleep, I've got ideas, I've got dreams. And by the way, we all do. That's the beauty of it. We are all creative forces. And again, don't let people tell you, you belong in that box, you're not good enough. Screw that. You are a miracle and you're a genius, and we all are. So in my particular smallness, I keep going. I finished at the same time than We the People, another documentary called The Cure, Healing the Mind, Healing the Body, Healing the Planet. It goes hand in hand with the people because it's all about health. And I think until we achieve the mental health, the physical health, personal physical health, but the physical health of our planet, we won't have healthy politics and healthy economics. Because as you can see, especially with, you know, the governing force of his country, you can tell this is a very sick in his mind, sick in his body, and sick in his environment gentleman who is daring to try to do good politics and good economics. You can't. You're not in shape, both mentally, physically, and in your environment. So I just finished that other documentary. It's been released in December. You can find it, again, all over the internet, iTunes, Amazon, Vudu, Xbox, and on and on and on. And I started already two more. One is called Guns, Bombs, and War, A Love Story. Very timely. Again, very deep subject about our society of violence and trying to go beyond this nonsense debate of guns. Because obviously, if we keep going at putting each other down and thinking that guns are a problem and the NRA, they are and they are not. The problem is we the people. It's about relationship again. It's not about the tool, the gun. That's just a weapon. You know, you can kill somebody with your two hands. You can kill somebody with mental abusing them. So, you know, there is such thing as mental rape. And that's as damaging than punching people in the face. So it's, again, about we the people. It shouldn't be, the focus shouldn't be religion, money, guns. It should be we the people, and how do we articulate this beautiful relationship we were born to incarnate, and there's only one, it's called love. So I'm working on that one, and hand in hand, I'm doing a movie on relationship. Right now, there isn't really a title. There's going to be a focus on sex, because obviously sex is the ultimate relationship, because sex creates life. So we have, again, to reconcile ourselves with sex. And if we reconcile ourselves with sex, we reconcile ourselves with each other, because, again, men and women together create life. So call it sex, call it love. Again, we are scared of words, and that's a problem. It's the same with a debate about a wall or a big fence. It's like, can you please stop debating and fighting for words and focus on, again, how do we reconnect each other, even so there are degrees of separation, physical and mental, that will probably always exist, and limitation and frontier and laws. But that doesn't mean we are not together in the same beautiful planet. So even so, we want to protect each other and guide each other. We don't need to live in a totalitarian frame of mind society, which now we have fallen little by little into. So we have to be very careful, because one day you wake up and you are living the life of the Handmaid's Tale. You know, you are living the life of Nazi Germany in 1939. So you have to be very careful. At the same time, you don't want to over-dramatize. You definitely don't want to put down anybody, and you want to keep agreeing to disagree, which is very important, because as we can see today, people don't even want to agree to disagree. They just put each other down and refuse to talk to each other, whether it's through social medias or not getting together with each other because they are scared of facing each other to the point they're going to punch each other. It's quite sad. You know, I really invite people to repeat after me, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, and see how it transformed you and it transformed the other. So, you know, when I think about Trump, I say, I love you, I love you, I love you. And doesn't mean I love a lot of his ideas and a lot of his practice, but I love the potential that's beyond that, that's beyond this, you know, this momentary act of madness, and try to understand where it comes from and why. And by the way, in that speech, maybe there are points that are important and to be addressed, and how to figure out to, again, connect and unite beyond the head, beyond the discomfort that we are in right now. I think it's doable if we start with the free capital world, I love you, and build from there.
You know, that would be, I find, and we're all finding this about ourselves, that really, if we look in the mirror and say, I love you, I love you, I love you, that's really the beginning, because all of these dysfunctions, you know, the narcissism and the self-centeredness is really a way to cover up what isn't there, which is a fundamental connection with spirit, fundamental connection with your own love, and then you become capable of loving other people. And I think what you've described, as people have devolved into camps where they believe this or believe that, they're not really arguing with other real people. They're arguing with straw men. The people that they're arguing with don't really exist. And so we have people who are hiding behind these belief systems, which the initials for belief system is BS. So they're hiding behind these belief systems that keep us away from the heart, that keep us away from the connection, that keep us in our heads, keep us separate. And of course, it's so much easier to hit send via social media or electronic device than to really be in front of another person who you have to view as another human being. So another thing I appreciated about your movie is the idea of rehumanizing other people rather than dehumanizing them. So I think that's really what the key is, for people to begin to trust one another and work together for the betterment of each and all.
I totally agree with you, my friend. And again, it's doable. We are 7 billion people, so let's stop hating each other and then let's stop loving each other. And then everything will be fine.
Yeah,
again,
well, there
I'm
we
not
are.
Promising you a smooth ride. But I'm promising you that if you want to work together, it will be better and finer than the status quo of stupidity we are stuck with right now. So, again,
well, you know,
stop whining, stop bitching, and let's get to work.
As we've said many times before, you're proposing a sane world. You must be crazy. So we appreciate your true sanity and helping us create a sane asylum where we all go sane together. I wish you the best in your future endeavors. Looking forward to having you on the next time movie appears. And this is Steve Behrman. We've been talking with filmmaker Emmanuel Etier, who's made We the People. You can find out more about it at the Wiki Politiki website. We'll see you next week. Thank you, Emmanuel, and thank you for listening, folks.
Thank you. Love you. Take care, everybody. Go in peace.
Okay.